everyone, to that river of God's anointing that we love to talk about every week at this time on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We are so glad that each of you are joining us today. It's an exciting day because it's a breakthrough day in a lot of people's lives, Connie.
I'm thinking it's a tsunami.
Oh, it's a tsunami of anointing, not just a little calm river, huh?
Yeah.
Woo!
It's been a tsunami.
It's been a tsunami all day at Beacon of Hope. I tell you, a whole lot of God's anointing. We are excited to be back with you today, and we are going to be talking about some things that are going to be absolutely life-changing for you. So now is the time to grab a pen, grab your spiritual notebook, and begin to take some notes in a few minutes. Get your Bible. Unless, of course, you're driving down the road, and if you're driving down the road, then just relax. And
your knees better be working pretty good.
Right. And enjoy the trip. Okay. We are so glad to be with you. Beside me is crazy woman here, Connie Farmer. Yes, Bill, she's in that.
I'm back.
She really is back.
She's back.
She really is. She really is. We've had a great day at Beacon of Hope. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and yes, we're located here in Clearwater, Florida. Beautiful Clearwater, Florida. It's a gorgeous day today and not too hot. And me and some of the other Beaconites had some fun kayaking yesterday out on the water. Really cool, Bill. It was really fun out there.
Where'd you go kayaking?
Well, Dunedin Causeway, because I just live right near there.
Oh, yeah.
And we went over to Caladese Island and pulled a raft with a bunch of chairs and all kinds of stuff. Cooler.
Made one person. The chairs.
That's the island out there in the water, three miles out, right?
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah.
If you take the pontoon boat over with everybody else, it takes like a 45-minute ride or something like that.
Actually, no, from the Dunedin Causeway, it doesn't take very long. Maybe 15 minutes.
Oh.
But when we kayak, it takes more like 30 or 45. Yes, yes. It depends on how many big boats, and we ran into a few yesterday. But, oh, it was so much fun.
You ran
it was beautiful.
Into? Or?
No. Okay. We had to deal with a few.
The waves.
That
capsized.
That came from. No, nobody got capsized then. A couple got capsized as they took off, which was kind of funny. It's always funny to see somebody else fall in the water, right? Don't you think?
That's why I don't kayak.
Because you're afraid you'll fall in the water?
No, because I would turn over and I'd just lay there upside down.
Oh, you didn't go kayaking with her?
No, that's not my thing.
It's not her thing. We have a group that it is their thing, however. Yeah. And so we had a really good time yesterday.
That was where you baptized a lot of people or something.
Oh, thank you for bringing that up. Yes, on July 4th, 13 people we baptized out there. Great time, great picnic. We're going to have another one probably in August or September.
Some of them got a couple double dunks.
Yeah.
Double dunks?
Yeah, there were some we wanted to hold under the water a little longer than others, actually. But
We didn't.
But we just wanted to make sure God really did something in them. But anyway, that's just a joke, folks.
Yes,
that's
a joke. It's a joke. Smile. Laugh.
We're having problems with the video stream today. So if you can't see us, that's okay.
We look good today, though.
We do.
I'm in blue
and Connie's in pink. We have matching shirts that accidentally happened today, our polo shirts.
There's no trouble. We're just testing to see if the audio stream
works better without the video.
Works better without the video.
All right,
that's
Engineer
it.
Bill, because we had some issues last week with some people. Yes, we're glad you are. Thank you very much.
No problem. And how's your book doing?
You know, it's really cool because my daughter, Lori, and you all can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and find my book there. Or you can Google, or not Google, what is it? You put my www.marciamcallister.com, and my books are there. And Lori, my daughter, who is the subject of my third book, my most recent book, Letters to Lori. Yeah, Little Girl Lost.
That would be the Lori
we're talking about, is getting set to be released from the minimum security prison in about 4 weeks. So we're pretty excited about that. And I thank you for the applesauce there. And, you know, she's had a drug issue for a number of years, and we request that our listeners do pray for her. She has gone through, even though she was in a minimum security prison in Indiana, it was a lockdown drug unit. And for 9 months, she went through intense therapy there. And we're excited about what she completed. And she completed some other programs. And she's really a different person. And we're very excited about what God is going to do through her. And I think I mentioned last week that our ministry has planted a lot of books into that prison. Lori's story, and a lot of lives have been changed. I've had a lot of letters and from some of the inmates. And so we're excited about what God's doing there. So if you haven't read Letters to Lori, that was written last May in about a 3-week period of time right after she was sentenced, go to our website and you can get a copy. We'll pay for the shipping and handling. And that's beaconofhopeministries.com. So thanks for asking, Bill. And we have our wonderful engineer on board, and he's just a sweetheart. That guy's got a wonderful heart for God, and that's pretty cool.
I give it a try.
Yes, you do. Amen.
That's all we all do.
That's what we all do. But you're a sweetheart.
Thank you so much.
We're glad that you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. Connie and I are going to have a good time. We may have some call-ins. We'll see. And we had a church dinner today, and I'm full.
Some good food.
Yeah, I'm really still kind of full. Maybe
I'm just
it was
right. I don't.
I ate a lot of those homemade chocolate chip cookies.
And you didn't bring any for Bill.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. I forgot.
That's okay.
We'll get you next time. So anyway,
Sean makes them every week.
Yeah,
some kind of something.
It's always good. Always, always good. So we're going to really have a great time today in the Word, and we are going to talk about the Lord of your breakthrough today and what that means. And we are going to give you some real spiritual insights into what God wants for your life. And I think it's really going to bless you, and some things that we've learned as we walk this walk. And so you will find in your Bible, we're going to go to 2 Samuel 5. You can find that, but we're going to kick right off with one of our favorite worship leaders, and it is Terry McCallum out of Texas. We love his music, and this one is Made Me Glad.
Goodness.
that song.
There's a new website.
Praise God. Love that song. Terry McCallum's a powerful worship leader. Praise God. He has made me glad. He's just singing the scripture right there, Connie. Don't you just love that? We do a lot of scripture songs at Beacon of Hope. And I don't know about you, but that's one way that I've learned scripture through the years is by singing the songs like today that we did. He is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. And that's scriptural, you know, and it's cool. So anyway, we hope you enjoyed that song. You're listening to Living the Good Life, 2 Samuel chapter 5. We're glad each of you have joined us. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area and are listening on the radio, which is 1340 AM, you can also catch us on the web at tantalk1340.com. So you can go there and listen, and normally you could see video streaming, but today we're not doing that part of it. We're just audio streaming. So we also have the internet up, and if you want to comment or write a question or say something during the show today, you can get that. You can get that message directly to us. The computer is up in front of Connie, and it is pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. It's got an IES on the end of it, .com. pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 5. Story about David. And we all have heard David's name. And even if you're not a Bible scholar, you've heard of King David. David is the one, as a little shepherd boy, who had the sling with five little stones. And he aimed them at the big giant, one stone at a time, and he only needed one stone to kill the giant Goliath. And his story is in 1 Samuel 16:17, that account. Now we are a few years later, and David is now 30 years old. At the time that he killed Goliath, he was a teenager, Connie. I mean, he wasn't really, a mature guy, and yet he was fearless, and we're going to talk about that today. Little David, the shepherd boy, was fearless. I mean, Goliath, this huge giant, who, by the way, from the account in 1 Samuel 17, Goliath was 9 feet 3 inches tall. Can you imagine that?
9 foot 3?
Yeah. 9'3". Now, I mean, we get amazed at, I've got some nephews that are 6'4", 6'5", and 6'6". Mm-hmm. And, that's tall. And I am one of those nephews, and his wife had their third baby Thursday, and I was up at the hospital on Friday, and I just, looking at my nephew Dave, I thought, man, this guy is tall, you know? But as tall as my nephews are, you know, my gosh, Goliath was 9 feet 3 inches tall. Now that is a big dude.
That's a big dude.
Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Now, David, it says, was just a scrappy teenager.
I'd want him on my basketball team.
You'd want him on your basketball team. Yeah, he'd like, can you imagine what he'd do to the backboard? But, David was just a scrappy teenager. It says also in 1 Samuel about chapter 15 that David was handsome. He was strong, but he was little. I don't think he was very big. I think he was just an average height guy, probably under 6 feet tall. And yet it said he was beautiful, so he was really a handsome guy. He was talented. He was a musician, and he loved music, and he would go out as a little shepherd boy and write songs, and that's where a lot of the book of Psalms has come from, was the writings of David David's life, through his journey. Psalm 23, which is one of the favorite psalms a lot of people quote, was written by David. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So there's a lot of the psalms that were written by David, and that's very important fact as we talk today about 2 Samuel chapter 5. Because now we come to a point in David's life where he's turned the almighty age of 30, which to me seems extremely young these days, Con. Does it you?
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's gotten younger, right? 30 is really young.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest son is 33, and that seems really still very young to me. And but I've got grandkids that are approaching 15 and 16. So, you know, it's kind of interesting how time flies.
It is. Wow.
Wow.
They're
yeah.
15 and 16. I think I remember seeing a picture Sunday of the kids on the refrigerator thinking, wow.
Rylan is really 15 grown. And a half. She's almost 16. She's driving. And Chase is 14 going on 15. So, yeah, they're getting up there. So here we are. David is 30, and David is in Hebron, and some of the leaders of Israel come to him, and they say, look at us. You are our flesh and blood. They had a connection with David because David, after the slaying of Goliath, he went out and he was really, really winning battles for King Saul. Right and left, he was winning battles for King Saul. And King Saul really wasn't too happy with David. Do you remember about that? How did King Saul feel, Connie, about David?
He was
David?
Always trying to kill him.
He was always trying to kill him.
He was jealous of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really was. He was always trying to kill him. He was jealous of him. He was...
trying to make him look bad.
Yeah, and David was going out, and he was leading the armies, and he was winning these battles. And so because of King Saul's jealousy, he did attempt to kill him multiple mm-hmm. times. Mm-hmm. So, but all Israel knew that the person in charge of the military victories and the person responsible was King David. You know, not king. He wasn't king at that point. David. So here we are. They come to David and they say, you're really the one who ran the country. And even when God called you, he said, you're going to shepherd my people and you'll be the prince. And the leader said, we know, David, that you're really to be the next king of Israel. So in verse 3 of 2 Samuel 5, all the leaders of Israel met with King David at Hebron, and the king made a treaty with them. So in other words, they asked him to become king. Said, you're going to be king because you've already been anointed back when you were a teenager. You were anointed. And so they now have anointed David king over Israel. And this is verse 3. Of 2 Samuel chapter 5. So look at verse 4. David was 30 years old when he became king. And Jesus was 30 years old when he began his earthly ministry, mm-hmm. which is interesting. And we know that Jesus came through the line
of David.
Of David. And that was prophesied.
I was listening to something this morning.
Okay.
And I can't remember who it was before I left home. And they were talking about Jesus hadn't started his ministry until after he was baptized by John the Baptist.
Exactly.
I don't think I realized that.
Yes, he did not. That was the beginning of the ministry of Jesus in the River Jordan. Mm-hmm. And he was water baptized, and then the Holy Spirit came down upon him, and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit at the same time. That is when that happened, and he was 30. So this is what when it mm-hmm. became reality for David. Now, David was promised, and he was anointed by the prophet Samuel to be king when David was a teenager, but it didn't happen when he was a teenager. It took several years, probably about 15 years for this to happen, which is interesting because so often when God speaks a prophetic word to us, we think it's now. It's going to happen right now. And our ministry, Beacon of Hope, we're big on the prophetic word. And we believe, and I'm going to be teaching on it, not this Wednesday, but the next Wednesday, on the prophetic word and how that should impact our lives. And the prophetic word is when God speaks to us and says, this is going to happen, and this is how I see you. And so when David was a teenager at age 15, God saw him as a king. Mm-hmm. And remember that one song?
I love it. Shepherd Boy.
Shepherd Boy. Is that God, Ray Bolt's song?
Yes. God may see a... We may see a shepherd, but God sees a king.
Exactly. Yes. And that is a cool song. We played it on the air before. Maybe mm-hmm. we'll do it again soon. Yeah. But anyway, this is what happened. So David was going about the business of life, fighting battles, doing everything, but really wasn't king until he was 30. So there was that lengthy period of time. And so now we see David in verse 6 of 2 Samuel 5. You can sit there if you want, wherever you want to sit. David and his men immediately set out for Jerusalem. And after he is, I skipped a line, didn't I? David was 30 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 40 years. 40 is always the number of testing and trial. And in Hebron, he ruled Judah for 7.5 years. In Jerusalem, he ruled all Israel and Judah for 33 years. So 33 is the age that Jesus stopped his earthly ministry and went to the cross. So David was 30 years old when he became king. So now let's go down to verse 6. David and his men, as soon as David is crowned king, and I say this sarcastically, but it is interesting that David didn't just sit around the palace and swim in the pool and enjoy the comforts of all that good food. Did he?
Isn't that what you're supposed to do when you're king?
I guess that's what you're supposed to do when you're king. But now David understood he was a different king. He was not the king that was going to sit on his laurels.
Saul probably did.
Yes, because Saul was not out there a lot. You know, like David. He let David go out and fight the battles, you know. And Saul was kind of hanging at home enjoying the good life.
There used to be there was a method of management that they used to call managing by wandering around.
By wandering around?
M-W-O-A. Hmm. It was a Tom Peters thing that he
did. Okay, what do you mean, managing by wandering around?
You didn't sit at your desk. Out amongst your staff.
Exactly, yes.
And mingling and actually knowing what was going on.
Which is what David did. World. That's right. What King David did.
Yeah.
And Saul didn't. He was more at home just being jealous and you know, feeling sorry for himself. And
I'm probably ruling with his finger. You know, you go do this and you go take care of that. And
right.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But David, on the other hand, in verse 7 of 2 Samuel 5, but David went right ahead and captured the city of Zion, the fortress of Zion. And he went right to work to go do what he knew he had to do as king. He had to get out there. He had to get out there and do what God was telling him to do. Now, this fortress that the bad guys had captured had been Zion, but the bad guys, and we have a name for these bad guys, they are Jebusites, okay? The Jebusites, and by the way, their name means those who walk in fear. That's what their name means. Their name means fear. The Jebusites had captured the city of Zion, and so David knew immediately that he had to go get his city back, okay? So he goes, and the problem is that the Jebusites were very proud and arrogant people, and they decided when they heard that David was coming to get the city back that there was no way that David could possibly get that city back. And so they began to mock David. Now, this is extremely important because through this story, we see types. We see a foreshadowing. We see symbolism here. Mm-hmm. And what we see here is that Satan always wants to taunt us and to mock us and to tell us that we cannot rule our own city. Okay? Mm-hmm. This was David's city to rule, and it had been taken away from the children of Israel. And the devil always wants us to think we don't have power over our own selves, over our own flesh, over our own mind, over our own city, if you will. We are, the scripture says, Connie, we are to be the temple of mm-hmm. the living God. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's not to be taken lightly. God comes and he lives on the inside of us, and it's important that we understand how to fight the enemy when it's coming to take our city. And somebody at some time let their guard down because the Jebusites, fear, had taken over the city. They had taken over the city.
Well, they were there. If their name meant fear, mm-hmm. they were arrogant and proud to cover up that fear.
Exactly.
So that the enemies didn't see it.
And don't you think that's true a lot of times?
Oh, yeah.
In human nature?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
People aren't, be jerks, really.
Right. I mean, jerks, yeah.
Yeah, you know, they'll act like jerks, and the whole thing is they're insecure and fearful inside.
Yes.
It's all just to cover it up.
intimidation is so often covered up with arrogance and pride and bravado, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And when on the inside, there are little babies that are fearful.
Right, and they're taunting David.
Saying, yeah, they're taunting.
Oh, you can come and take ours because we're guarded by the lame and the blind.
Isn't that mighty? Yeah. I love that.
David said, okay, come on.
Right, yeah. And
we're coming.
And what they were saying, the Jebusites were putting on this proud exterior. And I appreciate you pointing that out because that is what happens in human nature. Mm-hmm. People really do.
A lot of people are. I mean, even the gruffest people, most likely, they're either hurt people or they're afraid of something.
Absolutely.
And their response or their armor, their shield is
right. They are, and they're afraid of something. Usually, insecurity, unworthiness, fearfulness, all that stuff. A lot of times, it has a shield over it of arrogance and pride, and
make a hard shell so that you can't penetrate.
Boy, that's the truth, isn't it? This is human nature 101, mm-hmm. and boy, that is true, too, of our spiritual lives. So in this situation, this is exactly what's going on. So the Jebusites, when they found out David was coming to take his city back, they said, we're not worried about you. There's the bravado. Mm-hmm. We're not worried about you coming to take the city. You can't touch us. And in fact, our stronghold is so strong that we only have it covered or manned or guarded. That's the word I'm looking for. Let's play password there. Guarded by the blind people and the lame people. Do you want to explain that? Why they would have said that, Connie?
Because they were just so boastful and proud that they thought nothing could penetrate their walls. And so they were telling David, try and get through because you can't even get through. Yeah. Your army's not strong enough to get through our lame people and our blind people.
I love that.
Hide and watch, buddy.
Hide and watch. And in verse 8, I love it. It says that this made David so mad. He was so sick and tired of hearing of this, it says in the Message Bible, that people in the palace coined the expression, no lame and blind people are allowed in the palace. You know, just as a joke, really, because that's what the Jebusites were saying. Now, Jebusites means fear. So keep in mind that that what David was up against was fear. Okay? Now, David went right ahead and captured the fortress of Zion, and then he renamed it the city of David. Okay?
And he made it his home.
And he made it his home. He moved right in, and he took over where the enemy had tried to defeat him.
So it was like the Capitol House, the White House of Israel.
Absolutely, of Israel, which was Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. So this is the beginning of where we're all going to spend eternity, which is in the New Jerusalem. So in the earthly model here, we have David being aggressive and going in there and going, no, I'm taking my city back, you know?
First thing
he did, he didn't sit around and enjoy the pool and the hot tub and everything. He went straight from the palace, from being anointed king, and he went right and got his city back. Oh my, we're going to talk about that some more in a little while, Connie, but I can tell you there's an awful lot of people that have given up their city, which is their temple, the space that God inhabits. They've given it up to fear, to all kinds of things, insecurities and depression and all the things that the devil tried, guilt, condemnation.
They just give the keys away.
Just give it away.
Soul.
Yeah. Now, and so this is a wonderful symbolism here and deeper layer of truth in this scripture that King David did not just sit around and go, oh, I wish I had my city back, you know, because that's what happens to a lot of people. They sit around and they go, I wish this were different. I wish that were different. And they bellyache their way through, but they don't ever do anything to change it. So we're going to come back to that point in a minute, but let's finish this little section up. So in verse 9, David made the fortress city his home, and he named it the City of David. I'm in verse 9 of 2 Samuel 5. He developed the city from the outside terraces inward. And boy, we got a lot to talk about there, about starting with an outward expression of our faith in God, which, you know, Bill mentioned a minute ago that we water baptized so mm-hmm. many on July 4th. Water baptism is an outward sign of an inward change. And so what is so cool about this scripture is that it shows us that change for us spiritually comes from, number one, us deciding to be the one in charge of what we allow to enter our city, which is the real us. You know, you are a spirit, you live in a body, and you have a soul. Okay, that's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And I'm going to say it again. You are a spirit. When you die and go to heaven or wherever you go, what goes is your spirit. Your soul is your personality, your will, and your emotions. That's what your soul level is. This is why you cannot speak, by the way, that I'm throwing this in because God said throw it in. You can't talk to dead people. Guys, that's a lie of the devil. You can't talk to dead people. I know people who have had relatives die, and then they'll call me and say, I had a visit last night from grandma, and she came and she told me this and this. And I'm going, you had a visit from a demonic spirit who came to visit you. Because the scripture is clear that we don't speak to dead people. Once they're gone, because what's gone is their soul level. And their physical body. Their physical body has either been cremated or embalmed. And their soul level, their personality, is not in a place for you to be able to talk to that person. It's not there. Their spirit has gone to be with Jesus. So that's just another whole teaching we'll get someday. But you don't talk to dead people, guys. You say, why are you bringing that up? I don't know. Somebody out there needs to hear it. Okay?
Stop talking to dead people.
There you go.
God
said it. Okay, so I'm back to verse 9 of 2 Samuel 5. Never know where these little curveballs are going, but hey, that one I know. All right.
Strike.
So he developed the city from the outside inward, and we're going to talk more about this in just a moment. So let's go on with the story. David proceeded with a longer stride and a larger embrace since the God of the angel armies was with him. And this morning when I was beginning to develop this at Beacon of Hope, and I didn't begin to get everything I wanted to cover at Beacon of Hope this morning, all this. So, and this is one of the concepts that I just kind of skipped over, didn't have time to go to. But we're going to it now. When David really captured this city, suddenly David proceeds through life from that moment on with a longer stride. What does it say in the NIV? In verse 10, let's read what it says in the NIV.
And he became more and more powerful mm-hmm. because the Lord God Almighty was with him.
Okay, became more powerful. Mm-hmm. Okay, in the Message Bible, it's translated, he proceeded with a longer stride and a larger embrace. And really, if you think about that, when somebody is you know, like reaching out and pulling people to them, when they are confident, they're walking confidently with a longer stride, you know, they're like going somewhere. A longer mm-hmm. stride to me. I mean, when you take little tiny baby steps, you don't really seem to care how quickly you get there.
Well, and you don't know exactly where you're going, so you take it cautiously.
Yes.
Instead, he knew God was with him.
Woo!
So he could take longer strides because he knew where he's going.
He knew where he's headed.
And even if he didn't know, God did, and he was walking with him.
Absolutely. And I, when I think of times I've taken long strides getting someplace, I'm in a hurry. Mm-hmm. I know where I'm going. I want to get there, you know, and I want
to
get this done. I got something to do. I'm on a mission, you know. In fact, I am not a good shopper. Don't go shopping with me. I don't like to shop. I really have never liked to shop. If I need, you know, an article of clothing or something, I know what store I'm going to. I go in there
You're
quickly. Huh?
You're a hunter.
Is that what you call it?
Yes.
What does that mean?
That means that you know what you want. Mm-hmm. So you go in, you know exactly where to go, and yeah. you get it and leave.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I'm in and out. It's
You're
on my job list, yeah. you know? And so I cross it off when I get that, made that purchase,
Check.
Pair of shoes, whatever it is. I go, I know what store I'm going, I get it, bam, I'm out of there. I don't like to just lollygag around and shop for pleasure. It's not fun for
All
me.
All day long.
It's not fun for me. It really mm-hmm. isn't. But I can sit for 2 hours like I did yesterday afternoon.
Watching baseball.
Uh-huh. And what I'm going to be doing tonight, because the Rays are playing the Red Sox again, and hopefully they will
win one and one.
And I can enjoy every minute of that and sit on my sofa and not want to get up at all because, you know, I'm just relaxing and enjoying that. But shopping, mm-mm. Yeah. So when I have to shop, I got to, you know, like in the grocery, I'm in there and out of there. You know, I mean, I set records for how quick I can go to the grocery.
I like to go down all the aisles.
You do, don't you? I've heard you say that. Yeah. So anyway.
There might be something I need that I don't remember that I need, see?
Yeah, this is true. Good point. Okay, I just don't enjoy
it. That's why I look the way I do.
Well, see, I don't even enjoy browsing on the computer either. Surfing the computer, I don't enjoy
that.
Yeah,
I don't either.
No. Let me go in, get my work done, get out of there, mm-hmm. psh, go, do something else. All right. So David was walking confidently and a larger embrace. I like that. The NIV says he was more powerful. But embrace, what are we embracing? We're embracing God and all he wants for us, you know? That's really good stuff. Look at verse 11. Let's look at verse 11. Good stuff here. It was at this time that Hiram, the king of Tyre, sent messengers to David along with timbers of cedar. I didn't even bring this up earlier either. He also sent carpenters and masons to build a house for David. Now, Psalm 5:12 says that God surrounds us with favor as with a shield. And this is the theme, really, of this whole chapter, is a verse that David himself wrote, and it is Psalm 5:12. God surrounds us with favor as with a shield. And what that means is, and our dear friend Graham Cook, we love his CDs, he is big about this concept, that we need to learn to walk in the favor of God. Because when we do, and we realize that we are blessed, and that we walk in that favor, look out, it's like a shield around you. The devil is not going to penetrate the favor that God has upon your life if you walk uprightly before him. Ooh, that's a whole nother subject we're going to talk about in a minute. Woo! Now, this king sent David carpenters, masons. He took care of all of it. He sent him the wood, timbers of cedar. Ah, I'm a realtor, too, and I love to go in a home that has real cedar closets. Mm. Man, they smell so good. I open a, when I'm showing a house and I open a closet and then it's cedar lined, real cedar lined, I tell my buyers, come here, stand in the closet with me. Come here, let's smell this. And they think I'm weird, but honestly, to tell you the truth, yeah, no, they do sometimes. I say, this is a real asset to this house because it's got cedar closets.
Especially and you in Florida.
Ooh, and you know what they sent David? A whole bunch of cedar. And so he built his house with it. And David took this as a sign that God had confirmed him as king of Israel and that his kingship, his world prominence would be because of the, his people Israel. And this is, that's a really good place that we can jump off from in a few minutes. And we'll go back to some of these concepts in a minute, Connie. And I want to pick your brain on some of this. And before we do, we are going to go to a great song that I ask you to put on. I love this song. It is actually Psalm 121, and I'm not sure if that one was written by David or not. We can find out in a second. We got King James going over here, and we got NIV going over here, and it's going to tell us if it was a song of David, Psalm 121, and it would be important to know it. And the title
Psalm
of it,
19, 19 pages.
Psalm 121 is...
It says a pilgrim song.
Okay, doesn't say it was a Psalm of David. Mm-mm. Okay, but listen to these words by Susan Ashton. Great song, we'll be right back.
does my help come? My help, it comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let my foot be moved. He who keeps me will not slumber. Behold, who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Oh, the Lord is my keeper. The Lord is the shade on my right hand. The sun shall
God, good song. I haven't heard that rendition of it, Connie. That's
actually
good.
That's kind of an old song. Old,
is
it's,
it? Susan Ashton has been a while back. I know. I remember.
Yeah, it was from Women in Faith Conference
okay.
in like 1999,
yeah,
I think, or 2000.
And it's been a while. Yeah. Connie's our music director for the show, and you do such a great job, and just letting God tell you the songs that we're going to use on the show. I just give you kind of a general theme, and it's really very general usually, isn't it?
Yeah, two words this time.
Yeah, yeah, so we never know.
Stronghold and fortress.
Right, those are the words we had, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's all I knew, and then we just go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Deb, you're on the line with us. One
Hello.
Of our radio team members and a pastor in training at Beacon of Hope. How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good.
P-I-T?
P.I.T., Pitt, yeah, pastor in training, yeah, kind of cool. Call her our little pit bull. Yeah, she's our pit bull.
oh, boy.
Okay, Deb, talk to me, because Connie and I, we saw things here in this first part of 2 Samuel 5 that I didn't bring out this morning. And, oh, in fact, I just see something I missed here, even talking about just now. Because back in about verse 7 and 8, David says, to get the best of these Jebusites, one must target the water system, not to mention this so-called lame and blind bunch that David hates. You know, the water system. Deb, what was the significance of David targeting the water system there?
Well, anytime that you read about water in the Bible, it's referring to God's word.
Yes, exactly.
And I didn't get this in church this morning, but we took a little detour after church and drove around St. Petersburg and Pinellas, and so we listened to the first 30 minutes or so in the car on the way back. And as I'm driving and I'm listening to you read this first part, it really dawned on me that whenever the Jebusites commented that that you can't even get past, you know, our lame and our blind.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
It dawned on me that, you know, the Jebusites were just consumed by fear.
Right.
And so they were blinded to what was right.
Yeah, exactly.
And what was truth.
Right.
And I really got to thinking about people in general today that are walking around that are letting fear rule their life.
Exactly. Yes.
And, you know, that they're walking around as the blind and the lame.
Right.
And, walking wounded.
Walking, you know, wounded, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It made me think that you know, well, if the Jebusites are saying, you know, you can't even get past our blind and our lame, then, you know, were they just, you know, a bunch of robotic people that, you know, they did what they were told when they were told to do it because they lived their lives in fear and they didn't see beyond that fear to what the truth was?
That's a good point, Connie.
Just going through the motions and not really being in the situation involved.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Living
right.
life.
And I find it interesting that it talks about the blind and the lame, and then it talks about how David realized that, you know, the best way to attack was to go through this underground water system that they had.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
To get into them, you know, and it's because they didn't know the truth. They didn't even know this was a way that they could be attacked because
right.
they were so consumed with fear.
That's a good point. And
I thought they were so great. I
just found it very interesting.
Well, and the water system is always talking about the word, like you just pointed out. Well, the devil knows, and conversely, David knew this, but the devil knows that our defense is in the water, which is the word of God. The devil mm-hmm. knows that when we start speaking the word of God, it changes our situation. It is our weapon to speak sword. The word. Kind of comment on that for me, will you? Because I know you
sword.
Know this with all your heart. And that's Hebrews 4:12, and it's Ephesians 6 about mm-hmm. the word. But
you just, the answers to everything is written in the Bible some way or another.
Amen.
And I think people nowadays think that it's so difficult to find anything or to be able to understand it
right.
that they don't even pick it up to try
right.
to read it. And so I would encourage you to get a Bible, whether it's and you know, don't be ashamed of the fact I can tell you that I never understood half the things that I understand now.
Right.
Even after 30, 40 years of being in church because
right.
it didn't make sense to me in the version of the Bible that I had.
Right.
And so,
exactly.
And then in the last 10 years, the Message Bible has come out. But, it, you know, I had one, the Living Word, the Living, I think
the
it was
Living
called
Bible.
The Living Bible.
Yeah, and
then
Living
and then,
Letters.
But don't be ashamed to, if you want to get a child's, or
the Message Bible is really fourth grade level.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Or even a teenager version, because it
yeah.
would, you know, or even just pick up a book and read about the Bible stories
right.
and get some semblance of what was going on.
Right.
And then read the Message and you can understand it better.
Right. It
well,
really helps.
And don't you find it interesting that, you know, if somebody's interested in something
mm-hmm.
that they'll pick up anything they can to research it.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. They'll Google
out,
it, right? They'll Google
out
everything.
Where the answers are.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but they won't,
you know,
pick up the Bible.
It's not like, you know, 100 years ago, all they had was a King James Bible.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, I've got a copy of the Living Bible that was my grandmother's.
Right. It was
like
in the 60s
like
that came out in the 60s.
Old.
Yeah. It came out in the
you
60s,
know?
I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So get different. Like you said, you know, go out and look and see what's out there.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
there's a great website, www.BibleGateway.com.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You can have any interpretation you want right there.
Yeah, it's good. So David understood that the word, the power of water, Mm-hmm. And interesting, in the New Jerusalem, by the way, the rivers of living water that surround the New Jerusalem, water, and we have had our same theme song now. This is our fifth year on the radio on Tan Talk 1340. We've had that same theme song since about the third week, I think, of the show. We found that song somewhere, The River of God's Anointing.
William gave us that.
Yeah, it's just a powerful song, and I thank God for that because it introduces really what this show is all about. It is all about the anointing and the river of God's word that flows in our lives. So, with that said, moving on to the point here, Deb, we were talking about the fact that David started.
Are you in water?
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Sounds like you're blowing your nose, but we won't
ask.
In
the bathtub?
I don't know. We won't ask about that.
Okay.
Sorry, it was my patio door.
Okay. Oh. All right. It really did sound like it sounded strange.
Living water.
Yeah, sounded strange.
Sorry. Water.
That's okay.
Maybe it was a toilet flush.
All right. Maybe it was, and she won't admit it. David made the fortress city his home and named it the City of David. Now, the other layer of meaning here about this city is our city, which is us. Okay, the real you. Okay, down on the inside of you that God wants to do a fresh work in. And David here developed that city from the outside inward. And we touched on it a minute ago that when we get water baptized, it's an outward expression of an inward change. And then God comes in through the power of his Holy Spirit and begins to remodel your interior. Connie, do you want to comment on the remodeling that the Holy Spirit does on our interior? Because it's wonderful. Because you're our lead counselor at Beacon of Hope. So oh, you boy. Should be able to comment on the interior remodeling that the Holy Spirit
no pressure.
Does.
No pressure.
No pressure.
He puts a desire, I think, into your heart once you make the decision and to accept him as your savior, then he puts the desire in your heart to get to know him better.
Yes.
And you want me to go to my
go ahead. Yes, you can go to your God shaped hole. Yeah, go there. Yeah.
I believe that everybody is born with a God-shaped hole in their heart.
But you got to explain that.
Yeah.
You know, Deb and I understand it, but I don't know. You better explain that.
When, you know, in our lifetime, if we don't know or get to know Jesus early on, and we're always searching for something. And we don't know that we're searching for God. We're searching for a better relationship with God. And so I think that he created us with that special vacancy there for that only he can fill.
Amen.
And that when Adam and Eve were first created,
right.
He created them to have communication, to have a relationship with.
Right.
And of course they sinned. We all know that. And things change from forevermore for all of us.
Right.
But he still, to this day, wants a relationship with us.
Amen. Yes.
And so I believe that every single person has this spot in their heart that needs God to fill it.
Yes.
And some people will never have it filled that way, but other people will find it eventually because they've tried everything. But, you know, some people fill it with drugs and alcohol or sexual addictions or all different kinds of addictions that you keep going after because you have this craving inside and you don't realize that it's God.
It's that you need God. Yeah. You need to spend time, quality time with God, and he will fill that longing in your heart.
Right. And, you know, people are so weird about, you know, becoming a Christian because it's so weird and this, and you have to give up your life and you have to do this and you have to do that and you got to go to Africa. And
not quite like that, is it?
No,
none of us are in Africa, are we? Yeah.
Not on purpose or anything, you know. I mean, we could if we wanted to.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, if that calling was put on our,
if
that was something within our heart, then we could go. But that God-shaped hole needs to be filled by God.
And, amen.
And he has the capability of creating that in everybody, I think. And
yes.
And only he can fill it. And you know what? He made us all. He made every single one of us. He knew us all before we were ever even born. And it's he's in control. So he can be the boss and he can make that hole.
Amen. Okay, yes, he can.
And I think it's really pretty cool that, you know, he's made it so that he's the only one that can satisfy that part.
Amen.
In your heart. And
Exodus 20, verse 3, the first commandment says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me."
Exactly.
And that's the way he set it up. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. I mean, I was winding down, I think.
Were you?
Oh, yeah.
No, but that's a great point. Deb, did you want to comment on that?
Well, yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, the outward sign of an inward change.
Right. Mm-hmm. Baptism.
Just like with you said earlier, you know, when they asked David to be their king, you know, David didn't sit back on his laurels and go, "Wow, you know, now I have all these people at my command, and
right.
you know, they can wait on me." And you know, David was all about the people,
yes,
and making things better for the people. And the phrase "under new management" is floating through my head.
Oh, that's good.
That's pretty cool.
I like that.
You know, it's like you have your favorite restaurant.
Right.
And, you know, you go there all the time and you know what to expect. you know the decor, you know the menu and everything. Well, let's say that, you know, you move away.
Right.
And you come back. And you've been gone long enough that you're like, yeah, I wonder if that restaurant's still there. And I wonder if you know, it looks the same and the food is the same. And but you're just so busy with your move and all that you just haven't taken the time to go see it. And, you know, if that restaurant is under new management and they don't put a sign outside that says "under new management," then you're not going to know that maybe something has changed.
Right.
If they've changed the decor on the inside and they've changed the menu and given it a new look, you're not going to know just by driving by and looking at the outside.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, for me, that outward sign of the inward change was extremely important, just like I think it was to David, because David didn't just sit back. He thought about his people and he thought about, you know, what was best for them and what was outside the walls of his city that were causing problems for his people.
Right. And he needed to recapture his city, you know?
Yeah, you know, and he needed to recapture what was rightfully
exactly
the people's, not his, but the people's.
Right.
And, you know, once he did that, he didn't stop.
Right.
He kept making these changes that he got his city back, but then he started working on the inside to make things better for the people on the inside.
Exactly. That's why it says that he developed the city from the outside in, which is what God does on the inside of us. Connie, did you want to finish that thought before we go to station ID, or did you have it developed?
I thought I developed it.
You did? You did?
Did you not think so?
No, I did think so. She's been a crazy woman today, Bill. Connie's been crazy.
Out of
She's been wild. Yeah.
So David's trying to take over the city, right?
Well, David did take over the city. It's his saving.
The city.
It's his country to take care of. Take over.
Now Bill's being just as crazy as you. So you guys are nuts. All right. So we're talking today on Living the Good Life about the city of David. And you are the city of Almighty God. He lives on the inside of you if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you do, then expect that the Holy Spirit is going to move in and begin to remodel the interior of your city. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't want you walking around in anger, frustration, fear, guilt, condemnation, self-pity, lust, lying, all those kinds of things. God wants to remodel us from on the inside.
Well, and if he's going to remodel us.
Yes.
And we ask for it.
Right.
Then we need to listen.
Yes.
And it will be less painful.
It will be less painful if we fall in line,
if
right?
If we obey.
Right.
And not rebel.
Right.
and are cooperative.
And you know, and
it's less painful because otherwise he's going to have to rip things out of us,
right?
That are seeded,
yes,
from either past experiences or our third and fourth generation,
right?
And when sometimes when those things are ripped out, it's painful.
It is. You know, I'm thinking about boot camp, and I've never been. I've never been in the military, but as I mentioned this morning, my dad was in the Army mm-hmm. during World War II. And I remember him talking about boot camp and how difficult that was. And it's easier for the soldiers if they'll get with the program right away on day one, right? Buy in, understand you're going to have to make your bed a certain way so that a quarter can bounce on it. Mm-hmm. And all the things that you have to do, you got to spit shine your boots, you got to do all these things.
Uniforms, beds.
And your uniforms, everything's because if you look different than the rest of the soldiers and you're not complying because you're rebellious and defiant, then you're going to be in big old trouble in boot camp. And it's the same thing with God, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk more about this after the break. Station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're glad that the extra stations, the new additional stations, have joined the Tan Talk family. And so wherever you might be listening, if it's live from Arkansas or Mississippi, or Florida, or wherever you're listening live, or if you're listening on the internet, we're glad you're joining us today on Living the Good Life. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister with Connie Farmer right here beside me, and Deb on the line. And we are talking about 2 Samuel 5, and it's really good. Before we get back to that, we have a prayer line. Deb, would you describe what that is and how people can access that and why they would want to do that?
Well, we have a prayer ministry that is not just for our church and the members of our church. It reaches out across the 50 states.
Right.
It reaches into Europe, and we've gotten prayer requests from as far as Australia.
Right.
So, and it's very simple. If you have a need for prayer, you just drop us an email at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that email will immediately go to four of us that are on the prayer team.
Right.
And one of the four of us will answer that prayer request. We will forward that prayer request out to everyone that is on our, that are members of our prayer team.
Right.
And we have members that are not actual sit in the pew, attend every Sunday and Wednesday members of the church.
Right.
They're all over the U.S. And it's very simple. We get a prayer request in, we shoot the email out and forward the prayer request, and we enclose a prayer along with it.
Right.
So that as you are reading that prayer request and you're thinking, yeah, well, I need to pray for that person, you just look down and there's the prayer right there.
Exactly.
And you can pray for that person, that need, immediately. And you're just following God's command right then and there.
We're glad that you team members do put the prayer there for all of us, because if we're busy, I know with real estate during the day, I'm just swamped with phone calls and emails. And when I see a prayer request come across, I take the time to stop and read it out loud and read the prayer out loud and pray it right then. And then I just go on with my work, and it's been done. I've done what, you know, I need to do.
The neat thing about that is it's actually increased my prayer life in the fact that there's been numerous times before I was part of this prayer ministry that I would be speaking to someone, and at the end of the conversation, I'd say, well, you know, I'll pray for you.
Right.
And with every good intention, you know, I want to pray for them. But as busy things go on,
right,
you know, you get home in the evening and you forget who you said you wanted to pray for.
Right.
Having the prayer ministry and doing these prayers immediately for people has really taught me that as soon as I turn around from that conversation, I'm praying for that person.
Exactly. It's something right away.
And I never did that before this prayer ministry, mm-hmm. So it's really increased my faith and my ability to, you know, really minister to other people.
Exactly. Thank you for sharing.
What's happened?
Yeah.
but we have tons of results.
We've got a whole notebook full of praise reports from the last. This prayer ministry has been going on about 3 years now, and we have so many praise reports that the numbers are in the hundreds, way up in the hundreds and more. I mean, golly.
Probably more if we think about
it. It's not just about your prayer. It is about, you know, your praise report afterwards.
Exactly, you
know?
Yes.
And we take those praise reports and we send those out so that the members of the prayer team know they prayed for so-and-so on this issue, and boom, look at this. God answered this prayer.
We had tremendous.
Such a faith builder.
Exactly. We had tremendous answers this week. I don't know. We must have had 12 or 15 emails come across the prayer line in about a 24-hour period this week. It was crazy. It was busy. Mm-hmm. That's just one 24-hour period this week. A lot going on. And then the praise reports started flying in, how the answers to prayer were coming. And that is huge. And we thank God that He is the answer. He is the answerer. He is the one who meets our needs. Praise God. Thanks for sharing that, Deb. Also, I want to point out that we have the email up right now. You can write us here in the studio, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. If you have a comment or a question, you can do that right this minute. And Connie's got the computer right in front of her. The other thing that is new in the last few months, and we thank our engineer Bill for this, is that as soon as this show is over, he emails it to me in a certain format. We get it to our webmaster by tomorrow morning, and Maxine gets it on our website by tomorrow afternoon. So every show is up on our website usually by Monday afternoon, unless there's been some extenuating thing. Bill, we want to thank you again. You can give yourself applause or applesauce or whatever you want to give yourself there.
Living the good life is contagious.
He's a crazy man, too. But we want to thank you, Bill, because that is so cool that you have gone to the extra step to make this possible for our listeners. So if you hear something on a show or you miss a show, you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can find it, and they stay up there. They don't leave. So that's all I wanted to say about all that. Let's go to one of my favorite songs. But this one's sung by the Crab family. Actually, my ex-husband, Alan, and I, and our oldest son, Ryan, when he was six, we had a singing group in Indiana. And some of our Indiana listeners are probably hearing this right now and remembering this. It was the Trust Company. And we went to a lot of different churches on Sunday nights and sang. We had a band, and there were like eight of us. And Ryan would sing with us from time to time. And he would sing the verses on this song, I Go to the Rock. Let's listen.
Where can I turn when there's no one else I can turn to? Who am I gonna talk to when nobody wants to listen? Who am I gonna lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock, I know that's able. I go to the rock, I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected.
Run to the mountain.
Praise God. Great song. Amen. Amen. We were talking about the color of ink in our Bibles, and that was, caught us right there. But praise God. Let's go to 2 Samuel 22. We were just in 2 Samuel 5. I love that old song, I Go to the Rock, and it is perfect. That song right now, Connie, is perfect for where we're going now. 2 Samuel 22, 2. David prayed to God the words of this song after God saved him from all his enemies and from Saul. Here is what David said in 2 Samuel 22. And Connie, I want you to read verses 2, 3, and 4. Actually, why don't you read down through 7 in the NIV, because you've got it in front of you. Everybody, 2 Samuel 22, starting with verse 2 down through verse 7.
He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent men you save me. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears."
Wow. I love these verses. And this is what David felt. And you know, even with this attack on the city of David, where he had to go and get his city back, David is praying and declaring, "God, you are," in the Message Bible in verse 2, it says, "God is bedrock under my feet, the castle in which I live, my rescuing knight." Bedrock under my feet. Deb, what kind of rock is bedrock?
It's extremely hard.
Yeah.
Very impermeable.
Yeah.
And it's definitely something that when you're drilling for oil, you don't want to run into.
Okay, there you go, you Texan. You would know that, wouldn't you?
Yes,
how
ma'am.
About that? Because it is extremely difficult to drill through, is it not?
It is very much so. It takes a diamond drill bit to get through it.
Okay, so how would God be bedrock under David's feet, Deb?
Very solid, very firm, unwavering.
Right.
Always there.
So, and we sang the song this morning that comes from another one of these psalms that says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. We've got to develop, and I want our listening audience right now to develop a mental picture of God being your stronghold and bedrock under your feet. Interesting that David captured, he recaptured the city. He named it again what it should have been, the city of David. He took it back. He took Zion back. And then, Connie, you mentioned this a minute ago, he went and lived in the stronghold, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he moved from where he could have lived. He lived in the stronghold. Why do you think he lived in the stronghold?
Well, I think he just wanted to show the Jebusites that he won, God won.
Right,
and
exactly.
They were going to take up residence. And,
exactly.
And God was going to live there, too.
And don't you think there was probably a thing of protection and safety in that in that stronghold where there is with God?
Well, it was so safe that, you know, the lame and
the lame and the blind were only the ones guarding it.
So. And he already had the living water.
Right.
So he didn't have anything to worry about.
And
so he was safe.
He lived in the stronghold.
Yeah.
Deb, do you have a comment to that? Connie's right on here.
Well, and just like whenever you accept Jesus into your heart, you know, you said that, you know, we are the house, we are the temple, we are the stronghold. And the fact that once we accept Jesus into our heart, Jesus comes to live inside of us and creates that strong tower inside of us.
Exactly. And do we need that strong tower? Why is the importance of that?
Because there are times when we come up against things that we found so insurmountable. Mm-hmm. And if we did not have that stronghold inside of us,
woo,
we wouldn't have anything to turn to. You know, you talking about your dad this morning.
Yes.
You know, being 18 years old in World War II and being in a foxhole.
Right.
And saying, okay, God, you know, help me get, you know, he was terrified.
He was totally terrified.
And help me get rid of this fear. And, you know, it's a cliche, but, you know, they say there are no atheists in foxholes.
Well, that's probably right.
You know,
that's right.
When you're out on the battlefield and there's everything going around you, you're in that hole in the ground to keep yourself safe.
And he had his three best friends killed right around him in that one particular battle in that field in Germany, you know. And he had to run across this great big field and jump into a haystack and shoot from the haystack, you know? I mean, that's huge when you're 18 years old.
Yeah, war is...
And just like, you know, you said, the song we sang today, you know, God is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and they are saved.
Amen.
It's not just a matter of... You know, you're saved, your life becomes, you know, becomes renewed. It's, you're safe.
Well, think about this, and I didn't think about it earlier, but till right now. How physically safe would a haystack be?
Not real safe.
Not if they knew you were in there.
It wouldn't be safe at all.
All I had to do is open up fire.
I mean, there's no protection there whatsoever. Yet a lot of us go through life going from one haystack, if you will, to another. Y'all knew what I'm saying? You see the symbolism?
Well, it's like the three pigs.
Oh, yeah, the three pigs. The three little pigs.
The house of straw, the house of mud. I don't remember the story, but the house
Connie,
of bricks
it's been
stood.
A while since
I
you
do know that.
That
the bricks stood.
Yeah, the hay and the
hay and something. What was the middle one?
I don't know. Mud,
straw, and was it mud?
Straw and mud. I don't know. Do you remember? Anybody remember the three little pigs?
It
maybe
well,
it
was
I don't
straw,
know.
Straw, mud, and then bricks.
It was mud.
Okay, straw, mud, and bricks. All right.
So I wasn't that far off.
You weren't that far
on.
Off.
Yeah.
So, Deb, back to that, really, anyway. A lot of us run through life, our battlefields, and we just take cover in these little haystacks where the devil can see us, and he
so
can...
leave cracks open.
Yeah,
if you think about
think
it,
about
if
it.
You put light to the back of a... through a haystack...
Right.
You'll be able to see the light
you're gonna
right through it.
You're going to see it. Right
so
through
all
it.
Those cracks... are cracks for the devil to get through.
Absolutely. And that's our weak areas. Those are our things. But David did not go take refuge in a haystack, you know? David went to the stronghold, which was so strong that they were only guarding it with blind people.
Yeah,
only
he set himself up. Had the living water underneath.
Right, he was set. Deb, do you have a comment on that? Because let me finish this real quick for our listeners, because maybe some of my relatives are even listening, and I really want to say how proud I am that I am my dad's daughter.
Yes.
And that even though he's in heaven with Jesus and he fought a big battle with leukemia the last year of his life, but he was a soldier, not just in the U.S. Army, but he was a soldier in the army of the Lord and was called of God to be a minister instead of the medical doctor he was planning on being in that field at that time when he was so fearful and God spoke to his heart. And that is just huge, and I'm so proud of my dad and his life.
I think it's really cool that we got to meet him and hang out with him some. And he was very, I really enjoyed talking to him.
He's a good man.
It was really cool.
Pastor, missionary, teacher of the word, evangelist. Deb, did you have something you wanted to say about that, all that?
Well, I have been corrected. The three little pigs, it was straw, sticks, and bricks.
Oh, thank you, Alice.
Straw,
exactly.
Sticks,
thank
and
you,
bricks.
Alice. She just came out and told me that.
Straw,
well,
sticks,
I like
and
the
bricks.
Analogy that you used with the military and basic training.
Yes.
Because, you know, I am a veteran of the U.S. Army.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
You know, when you go into basic training, what they're doing is they're trying to remove every vestige of civilian life from you and indoctrinate you into the military thinking.
Exactly.
Following
and
orders,
it's the
right?
same thing of the outward sign you put on that uniform.
Oh, that's true.
Of the
that's
inward
good.
Change. It's the same thing.
And you may not feel
when
that
you
way.
You give yourself over to God.
You're giving
you know,
yourself over.
You become a member of God's army, and it's not to say that every vestige of secular life is removed from you, but the way you thought about a certain subject the way you reacted to a certain situation changes.
Absolutely. When you're a soldier, right?
Exactly.
Connie,
it changes. I don't know if I'm using the right word. Your mental acuity to things is sharpened.
Right.
Just like when you're a soldier to, you know, in mm-hmm. a military sense to when you're a soldier for God.
Amen.
If you stick with the training to learn that.
Exactly.
And to exactly. be able to recognize the enemy.
Yeah. You recognize the enemy and you mm-hmm. know what you need to do. Now, once again, God gave us free will.
Exactly.
You know what you need to do, and you know the choices that you have.
Exactly.
Those of us as Christians don't always make that right choice.
Exactly.
But isn't it awesome that God allows us all these chances to get it right?
He so does.
Second, third, fourth, 100th. I'm on like about 10,050th.
He is the God of the fresh start. I love that.
I was going to ask you is, do you think we should wear a uniform or do you think we should just be Secret Service?
Oh, we should be Secret Service.
But I think we do wear a uniform.
Yes, we do in a lot of ways. Yeah.
You know, because
it shows on your face, right?
It's very easy to recognize in a group situation when the going gets tough. It's very easy to recognize who's leaning on God and who's leaning on the devil.
Boy, isn't that the truth. It really is. And David hung out in the stronghold, 2 Samuel 22, 2. And David says, God is bedrock. Now, I think this is interesting. David said this. This is a prayer of his. God is bedrock under my feet. You know what a lot of us say? Oh, I'm so scared. I got this problem and that problem. Instead, we should be saying, God is bedrock under my feet. Okay? God.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, instead of confessing the negative about what we don't have, or by the way, 2 Samuel 22, which is this prayer of David, he also quotes it in Psalm 18, the very same passage. It's in two places in your Bible. It is in 2 Samuel 22, and it is in Psalm 18. So let's run over to Psalm 18. You're going to see the very same thing. Very same thing. Here it is. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. There it is. And then the very identical verses. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise. This is towards the end of David's life when he prays this. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. These are the words that Connie just read. Mm-hmm. And you know how bad life gets. But look at verse 6, one of my favorites that I've committed to memory, and it's in my arsenal of scripture. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. Can I get an amen out there?
Ding.
Amen.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes, because in my distress, I called to the Lord, and I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. And you can go through the whole Psalm 18, and you're going to find it's identical to 2 Samuel 22. And what is David saying here? He's learned a huge lesson. What do you learn in the military, Deb, when they take you through basic trainings? Give me some ideas of some things you learn. Number one, you learn that you can't wear your regular clothes. You got to wear what they want you to for a reason, right?
For a reason, yes. For identification, for protection.
Right.
You know, that's your shield. That's your armor.
Right.
And just like we wear the Word of God as our armor.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you talked about, you know, you have that scripture in your arsenal.
Right.
You know, military arsenal is huge. The different weapons that they have that they use to do the job that, you know, they're called to do. We have this scripture. And I think it's awesome that, you know, that very same prayer is in two different places in the Bible.
Isn't it cool?
To me, that's confirmation because if it didn't work for David one time, he wouldn't have used it again.
That's exactly right. And, you know, interesting, I don't think they do this now, but when in World War II, when my dad became a soldier, They issued him a New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs that had a metal front on it.
For the pocket.
For his pocket. And he had a story about how that saved his life one time from a bullet.
Yeah, it's a shame. You know, before...
They used to do that.
World War One, World War Two, even up through the Korean War and Vietnam, they actually had a place in your footlocker for a Bible.
Oh, really? Interesting.
And then that place changed for a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, my.
Well, and I remember my dad telling me, because my dad was in the Army, I remember my dad telling me before I went off to boot camp that... you know, you're going to have a place, which we didn't have foot lockers at the time. We had wall lockers. But he said, you know, you're going to have a place in there for a pack of cigarettes. And he didn't realize that when I went in, it was a non-smoking Army. But he said, you're going to have a place in there for a pack of cigarettes.
Right.
He said, you need to put a New Testament in there.
Wow. Well, my dad, we have that. We found it in my parents' things when we, you know, took all their house apart and everything. And we have that New Testament with the metal front on it. But that's so symbolic of the Word of God being that protection over our heart. Mm-hmm. That's what we need. We need that Word. And this is exactly what David is saying here. The stronghold that he's talking about, we know that he literally ran to the stronghold and took it away from fear. He took it away from the Jebusites, which means fear. He went to the stronghold, and even though they taunted him and said, hey, you know, we are so strong here, you can't get in. We just have blind and lame guards out front. I can just hear David laughing about that. You know, can't you?
He probably kept them on.
Yeah.
You can stay.
And isn't it interesting that the Jebusites operated out of fear?
Exactly.
And they were conquered.
Well, and yes, they were conquered. And like Connie pointed out earlier, Connie, if you want to go back to that point about why so often fear shows up in people, what is really going on? Go back to that point again one more time.
About
what those people really are, what people that are ruled by fear, what is really, I mean, no, let's
well,
put
the
it.
Opposite, you're there, the opposite of you're fear saying the opposite. Is faith and trust.
I'm saying it the wrong way. Go ahead. Connie will explain.
What I was saying was that people were probably some of the most obnoxious people or nasty people to be around, or boisterous and have this hard shell are that way because they don't want people to know that they're actually scaredy cats underneath, that they live their life in fear.
That's what she was saying.
That's what her was saying.
Yeah. So running to the stronghold is the Word of God. Praise God. Praise God. Woo! Let's listen to Matthew West sing Strong Enough and
Wait,
see how
this is a new
applies.
Song, and this is...
Is a good song?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Great.
Strong Enough.
You must think I'm strong. Give me what I'm going through. Well, forgive me if I'm wrong.
Praise God. I like that song. Matthew West.
Yeah, he went, he toured the country.
Yeah.
And talked to a bunch of different people.
Right.
About their lives and what their stories
right.
were. And then he went to the mountains.
Wow.
And wrote this album.
Wow. That's beautiful.
There's
That's
one song that was written from a story of some people here in Florida.
Wow.
In Sarasota, I think.
I like that. I like his voice.
It's really cool.
Psalm 27, everybody. Let's go there. We're talking about David today, and this is another psalm that David wrote. David ran to the stronghold. He captured it back. That's what we're talking about. And this is actually my dad's favorite psalm, and we read this at his funeral. Mm-hmm. And it was it's just such a joy. And the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now knowing the story of the Jebusites and the stronghold, and David wrote this. I mean, this is David's own words going, I'm not afraid of anybody.
He killed Goliath.
He killed Goliath. The Lord is my light and my salvation. You know? The Lord is the stronghold. There it is again. I'm reading out of my beautiful little green NIV Bible. I love it. The Lord is the stronghold. This is David's confession right here. The stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, because we have all had evil come against us to devour our flesh. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's in the form of sickness and disease. Sometimes it's the form of people being mean and nasty and rant to us. When my enemies and my foes attack me, here's what happens to them. What's it say, Connie?
They will stumble and fall.
They'll stumble and fall. Exactly. Look what happened to the Jebusites. Mm-hmm. Let's read those first two verses one more time, Connie. Read them out loud for me.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall.
Woo! Though an army besiege me, we've been talking about the army, mm-hmm. my heart will not fear. Can you see why this chapter became my dad's favorite chapter? The war break out against me, even then will I be confident. Okay? One thing I ask of the Lord. This is just such a wonderful psalm. I quote this not every day, but a lot of days. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Where's David now?
Heaven.
In the house of the Lord. Mm-hmm. He's in the New Jerusalem.
Hanging out with Jesus.
He's hanging out in the New
with
Jerusalem.
Your dad, too.
Yeah, yeah. He's up there. All the days of my life to gaze. Yes, my dad's gotten all ready to meet David.
I know. And two
that
of my
just
friends,
hit me.
Yeah. They're already
That's
hanging
like,
out. And they're like asking all the questions
oh,
that we
but
all
we
have.
We want to know. Yeah. Yes. That just hit
that
me and you at the same time. I could see it.
Yeah.
To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Wow. Verse 5. Oh, Connie, would you read 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14?
Sure. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of the tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Mm. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face, your face, Lord, I will seek.
Mm.
Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Oh my. Those last two verses were powerful. I am still there. It's all powerful. Mm-hmm. All 14 verses. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will wait for the Lord. I will be strong and take heart, and I will wait for the Lord. These are the words of David. Deb, do you have comments to this? Is she still there? She must not be. Yes, there she is.
Whoops. Just the mere fact of knowing that by accepting Jesus into my heart, mm-hmm. I have the right and the privilege to be in that strong tower, to be in that safe place.
Right.
It's powerful. It's comforting. Mm-hmm. But there's so much power in that. There's just so much power in that.
Yes.
A power that makes fear look so small.
Amen. Amen. Because, you know, here's King David, who was just a scrappy young teenager and defeated and killed the big old giant Goliath and went on to win battle after battle after battle, not because of his physical strength, but because of his confidence in God and in God's word. And David was a praiser. And, you know, last week on Living the Good Life, we really talked a lot about praising God. The show last week was Nathan, Brother Nathan, and Carol from Georgia. And if any of you out there missed it, you need to go to our website and listen, because it was really good about Paul and Silas and really learning to praise God. Wasn't it good? Mm-hmm. In the midst of our difficult situations. And David is our example, because this was the confession out of David's mouth. You know, this is what he said. I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I love that. David was confident that God wasn't going to desert him. God wasn't going to leave him. Do you have a comment to that, Connie? Because I just love that. That David was so confident, you know?
Well, I think that the more faith you have,
yes,
the more confident you are.
Yes,
the longer
true.
Your strides are.
There you go. Your longer stride. Yes.
The more
the
different
bigger
that
your embrace,
you walk.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the more people you can affect.
Yes. Amen. And David was confident. When the Jebusites said, you can't get into this stronghold because we've got it so strong that we just guard it with blind people and lame people. David just made fun of that.
If you were some little shepherd boy who had just slung a rock at a 9-foot giant's head, knocked him out, killed him.
Right.
And the rest of them left.
Right.
Because they were afraid of him.
Yes.
Wouldn't you have some confidence?
Absolutely.
Plus, after that, he spent all that time talking with God in the pasture.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
He spent time with God.
Yes. Yes, he did.
So by the time he became king, he knew what he was supposed to do.
Absolutely.
He was confident in what, and he knew who was going to be backing him up.
Absolutely.
He didn't need a whole army. He had the army of the angel, what's it called? How's he
the
called?
God of the angel armies.
God of the angel armies.
Which, let's go back to 2 Samuel and see how this finishes up here. Because in 2 Samuel chapter 5, we see a very interesting thing. When David defeated the Jebusites, then all the bad guys started coming around
all
and
the
going.
Ites.
Yeah, the Ites. Now we have the Philistines, and Goliath was a Philistine. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not enough that they learned that their champion was dead, but now in 2 Samuel 5 verse 17. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king, they came in full force to search for him. And David heard about it, and where did he go? He went to the stronghold. I am in verse 17 of 2 Samuel 5. When the devil comes and tries to attack us, guys, here is the message of today's radio show. You got to run to the stronghold. You can't mosey along to the stronghold. Boom, boom.
Well, see, it says here, then David prayed to God. Yeah, then David prayed to God. Shall I go up and fight the Philistines? Will you help me beat them?
Yes. And what did Dave, what did God respond, Connie?
Go up. Count on me.
Count on me, God said. I'll help you beat them. Absolutely.
So if you ask for his help, if you're in a situation and you don't know what to do.
Right.
Or you're up against an enemy and you don't know what to do. And you ask him, it's almost like singing that song, Praise the Lord.
Right.
When you're up against the...
When you're up against the struggle that shatters all your dreams. We did that one last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Just ask him. You'll
ask him. God, what am I supposed to do about this
situation?
He's
not somebody... He's not... He has manners. He's not going to force himself on you.
That's exactly right.
So all you
he's
have to
gentleman.
Do is ask for his help.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sure. Go ahead. Let's go.
Let's go. We're gonna
you and me. We're going to take him.
But David hung out in the stronghold. When the enemy presented itself, David goes, I'm going to the stronghold. You know, he may have been on a cruise when the Philistines sent him the telegram saying, we're coming to get you. Well, he didn't just stay on his cruise or his patio, but he goes to the stronghold. And guys, we've got to run to the stronghold. Deb, what is the stronghold?
The stronghold is God. The stronghold is God's word.
Amen.
You know, you access it through reading the word. You access it through communication with God, prayer, conversation.
Praise.
Just on every day, you know, just taking that time to say, thank you, God, for what I have.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, God, for what you have given me.
Right.
Thank you, God, for being there.
Exactly. Thanking God. He loves the word thank you.
And
I remember
that's what David did with all of the songs that he wrote.
That's right. They were praises. They were thanks. Yeah.
They were all praises to God.
Right. Exactly. Praises and thanksgiving. And I don't know about you, but when I meet a little child, and when my kids were little, I always tried to teach them at a young age to say please and thank you early on, you know, because people like good manners, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, God's the
especially
same
here
way.
In the South.
In the South, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Right. And but God likes that, too. He loves for us to say, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, yes, please, Lord, help me in this situation. Woo!
I think he likes that acknowledgement.
He does.
I mean, not for any other reason than for us to know
right.
that we're acknowledging him.
Absolutely.
And what he did for us.
Exactly.
And that keeps...
That's why we run to the stronghold,
right.
Okay? The stronghold is him, and it is his name. It is his word. It is praise. It is the blood of Jesus. It is all the weapons that you know. You run to your weapons. You pick up your weapons when you know the enemy's coming. Oh, my. Deb, being in the Army, and you know you're going out to do some skirmish with an enemy, you don't say, well, I think I'll take this novel I've been reading. Or I think I'll take my video game to the fight. Or I think I'll take, whatever else other than, no, you pick up your weapons and you go to battle. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Now, and my dad was never a person that liked guns at all. And, I mean, he didn't grow up around guns, but when he went into World War II, he was issued a military rifle, and he had to learn to shoot the cotton-picking thing. And even though it was difficult and an adjustment for him...
It knocked him down.
Because he wasn't a great big guy. But he absolutely learned the weapons and shot. He had to save his life. You know, he was forced to do that. He had to use his weapons. And guys out there, everyone out there in radio land, you have an enemy. The enemy is the devil. The enemy is out to get you, steal your peace, your joy. He's out to take your victory. He's out to take all the strength that you have spiritually away from you. Deb, talk on that a minute.
He will do anything that he can. The devil comes to lie, steal, and destroy. And he will go
John
to
10,
any
10.
Lengths to do that.
Exactly.
And, you know, when you're in the military and they issue your boot camp and they issue you your weapon, we had to name ours. We had to give it a name and personalize it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't
and
know that.
For a while, you slept with it.
Yeah.
In your bunk.
Wow.
And, you know, it was a part of you.
Right.
It was just as if it was an arm or a leg. It
right.
was a part of you. You know, and that's the way God's word is and should be.
Yes.
It should be a part of you.
Absolutely.
It should be not even a second thought. It should just be there.
Absolutely. You should have copies of it. I've got them. No matter where I go, I've got one in the console. I've got one in my beach bag. I've got all my Bibles in my office. I've got them everywhere. So that if I forgot to pick up one, it doesn't matter. I got a backup everywhere. Connie, what does it mean to you to fight? You've learned to fight, haven't you? I mean, you really have in the last few years, like mm-hmm. never before. How has that changed your life?
One word. Peace.
Praise God.
Because if you're not having to worry, fret, just freak out over everything that's happening in your life, which, you know, in this day and age, there's all kinds of stuff that happens. If you just let God do it, and I can't tell you that I let him do it all. I'm learning, still learning to
yeah.
get
of course
to let him
are.
Take it.
Yeah.
But the peace from not having to worry and fret over every little thing in my life and knowing that no matter what happens, that he's in control.
Amen.
And he is the one that has my best interest.
Ooh, hallelujah.
And I've given him that responsibility.
Exactly.
To make sure that whatever it is that he has for me that I get.
Exactly.
And he's in control.
Amen. Listen to this last song today, Defining Moment. I love this song by New Song.
There comes a time in every heart, a time of real decision, when we reach the point of choosing how we would live our lives, all our hopes, all our dreams. We'll rise up from that moment, the moment we surrender and choose to follow Christ. He's been waiting all our lives to hear us say, I am yours, Lord, take my hand and lead the way. When you believe he's all you need, that will be your defining. Set before me to take this love inside my heart for all the world to see. Oh, all of heaven celebrates when they hear someone say,
song. I love that song. Yes, my new song. Woo! All right, Deb, you got about 2 minutes for some final thoughts, and we appreciate you calling in today. What do you think? Life's defining moment. What is this really saying to us?
Well, you know, I think David's first defining moment was when he took on Goliath.
That was a big one.
If he didn't have faith and strength and belief when he stood against Goliath,
mm-hmm.
when he got through he had a mountain full.
Absolutely, yes.
And I really think that that moment was the stepping off point for his faith and trust in God.
Amen.
Knowing that if I can do this, I can do anything. And God's word says you can do anything through Christ who strengthens you.
Amen. And don't you think, Deb, though, that he had spent, at the time that that happened with Goliath, he had already spent a whole lot of time out in the fields alone with God and the sheep.
Exactly. You know, and this was the time for him to step up.
Yes.
And, you know, David had a lot of brothers.
Yeah.
And he was the youngest of the group.
Seven brothers.
And, you know, God chose him.
Amen.
To go up against Goliath.
Amen.
Not his older brothers. And, you know,
he was the
once
youngest.
Again,
yeah.
He faces the Philistines.
Right.
And, you know, you had to kind of think that in the back of his mind, he's going, you know, you guys didn't learn the first time.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
You know? So
I know.
Let me show you again.
Right.
Because sometimes it takes those of us a few times before we get it.
Well, in 2 Samuel 5, there, where we were, the Philistines go up twice, two more times against David, which is very interesting. I mean, it really is that they didn't get it, you know, when he killed their champion.
Dumb.
You know, yeah, it's really. Deb, thank you so much for being on today, and we appreciate it. And you're a wonderful staff member at Beacon of Hope, and you're a wonderful radio team member. We love you.
Well, God bless you. I love doing radio, and thank you very much for letting me put my 2 cents in.
Appreciate your 2 cents.
I think it was more than two.
Yeah, all right. Connie, some final words here.
Where shall I start?
Whatever's on your heart.
The God-shaped hole.
Yeah.
So many times we just run through this life trying to run through it and get it done.
Yes. Oh, good point.
And life was meant for living.
Amen.
And I think that if you just slow down, stop running from God, and just slow down, and enjoy what's left of your life,
right,
however long it is, and get to know God, that I can tell you from my personal experience that the peace that passes all understanding is there.
It certainly is. Makes life all
worth it. Just reach out and take it.
Amen.
It's not, it doesn't cost anything.
Amen. Run to the stronghold. Hang out in the stronghold. You know, learn the value of God's promises and his word and run there to the stronghold.
Yeah, run without stopping.
Yeah, and the praise,
run!
You know,
yeah.
Run. Exactly.
Run quickly.
Run, Forrest, run, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Run and don't stop running to God, you know? James 4, 7 to 8, I quote that a lot. It says this, submit to God. That's number one. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will draw close to you. Wait a minute. Submit to God, and he will draw close to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I had it wrong. All right. I'm going to try that one more time, guys.
So it stays positive.
Yeah. James 4, 7 and 8. Submit to God, and he will draw close to you. Okay? Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Okay? That's what it's all about.
Yeah. I think there's one version, one translation says, it just went out of my head.
There you go. Okay. It's all about draw close to God.
Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you.
And he will. He will draw close to you.
Yeah.
So that's what it's all about.
And the devil will flee.
And the devil will flee. He has to. And he doesn't. The devil doesn't like it when you run to the stronghold and hang out in the stronghold. He hates it.
No, because he likes to turn up the pressure.
Exactly.
And then you just got to hold on to the stronghold.
Amen. Amen.
And don't let go.
Right.
Hold on.
Hold on. Hallelujah.
Because it's going to be a wild ride.
It really is. Thank you, our dear Connie, music director of this show. And she does so much at Beacon of Hope. She actually sends out devotionals on a daily basis. If you want to be on that, email, send one to devotionals@beaconofhopeministries.com, and she will put you on that list. Also, don't forget our prayer team. If you have a prayer request, write prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. We're located at 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. We welcome you to a Sunday service at 10 a.m., and that's our new time, 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. Wednesday nights, Bible study is at 7. Prayer meeting is at 6:15. The praise band rehearses at 8:30 on Wednesday nights. We got a lot going on. We had a family dinner today. We had a picnic a couple weeks ago. We're getting ready to go to a Rays game. We got a lot going on, including miniature golf. So why don't you come to Beacon of Hope Ministries and be a part of what God is doing. He is moving in our lives in a mighty way. Prayer is being answered. You are welcome at Beacon of Hope. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, my good buddy and fellow fellow worker in the ministry here beside me, head of our counseling department, Connie Farmer, and Deb, pastor in training, Deb Reasonover. Thank you both for being on the show today. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, to find out more about the ministry at Beacon of Hope and to listen to other radio shows that are on there. There'll be a great form of training you in God's Word. It's not far to Jesus. It's not far from here to Jesus. Have a great week. See you next Sunday, 4 o'clock. We will be here. Hope you will too. God bless you.